Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. It's been a heck of a week around here. We got Kevin Byard being traded to the Eagles, Vrabel going nuts at a couple of press conferences, yelling at Rex Road yesterday about hand gestures. It's been beautiful around here. How we doing?
I've also wondered what Joe's doing with his hands sometimes.
That's a lot to unpack right there.
So we've been on road trips.
Yeah. So you saw that clip. I brought this up last segment. I was like, I wish there was some video of some, like 2003 Izzo, roundtables and pressers.
Yeah.
How about the one? Remember how I had the tape of that forever?
Yeah, the one where he grabbed Pat Caputo's and started screaming.
Yes, it was Pat Caputo's. It was Pat Caputo's.
Dave Dye's record.
Tape recorder. He said, the most foul. Vrabel, you got nothing.
It was amazing.
Vrabel, you got nothing on this.
The fact that that's never surfaced to this day is just beyond. I thought for sure at some point someone would roll that out. Like, that was a stunner.
I played that at so many parties. It was a huge hit.
I lost mine over the years. I'm so frustrated about that.
Just beautiful. All right, well, in more serious matters with the Titans. So, a lot of stuff going on. Let's start with this, because our friend, he's now a friend of ours, Fitz, came on a program here on this station and talked about, front office stuff, the Titans. You got somebody telling Rappaport that Levis is starting. Vrabel clearly not on board with that being told to Rappaport. So what do you make of all that?
Well, that's always how news comes out is, look, anytime a coach and GM, and I'm going to be very careful about how I say all this, but I will say if you're watching something and a coach and a GM don't get hired together, you tend to just sort of watch from afar just how things function, because obviously you're like, what does all this mean? When John Robinson was fired, everyone told you like, hey, Mike has picked up power in this process and that's how it's going to be moving forward, regardless of who the general manager is going to be, that, Mike and ownership are very much aligned. And then, what you end up watching is the dynamics of how players are added, how certain, coaching decisions get made, but also how news comes out. And I was a little surprised that the news came out. Obviously, Ian Rappaport comes out, says Will Levis is going to start. It's, pretty normal. You have a handful of people that bring out transactional stuff. So-and-so starting, this trade's happening, whatever. And to me, I think when Mike Vrabel stepped up and pushed it back, then you're sitting there going, why is he not, he's addressing this in a way that's suggestive that it wasn't him that passed this on to Ian, unless there was some sort of agreement like, you can go ahead and report that and I'm going to knock it down and question it.
And that'd be interesting.
Yeah, well, it's not unprecedented. It does happen. You have sources that'll tell you pieces of information, and they'll say, just know that if you put it out there, I'm not going to be jumping on board with it. And I know there are other times of sources where, I have other friends who have written books or reported things, and when I have read them, I thought to myself, like, the exact person that's wrapped up in this and that looks like someone told on them or whatever shared information ends up, I'm like, I feel like that person's probably one of the sources for this information. They just, didn't feel like they could put it out in other ways, and they feel like they're not taking the bullets the way maybe other people are. So it does happen. But the way this one unfolded made me feel like something happened where clearly there were two people who weren't necessarily, or multiple people who weren't necessarily on the same page here in terms of how the information came out. And that's never, never a great look. And it did surprise me, to be honest with you, on a Wednesday when the quarterback situation is that much up in the air. It's not unusual at all for coaching staffs to go, let's go ahead and not tip our hand on this one. You know, let's make the Atlanta Falcons sit there and think, okay, we're going to have to prepare for everybody on this. And if anything, maybe let's kind of try to push this idea that maybe Tannehill, regardless of what the injury report says, that maybe Tannehill does have some kind of percentage chance of playing this game. That's what I felt like Mike did when he got to the podium. But it was very different than the way Ian reported what he reported. So it's the games organizations play sometimes, and maybe in the long run we'll look back at that and go, oh no, that was just, you know, there was a lot of poker being played by multiple people, or maybe just Mike. But at the time and right now, I think it kind of felt weird to me the way the information rolled out and then how Mike's follow-up press conference ultimately went. So, you know, again, just want to be careful here. It's when organizations are in situations like this where it's clear that you have to start to get a look at younger players, it's clear that you're doing things competitively that aren't in your nature. You know, you want to, especially with a guy like Mike Vrabel, you want to go out and you want to win every single game. And you always want to play all the best players, and you want to keep all the best players. You want to keep people who are going to make the right decisions in games and not cost you a win or a loss. You also have to sit there and go, okay, realistically, we have to get a look at certain individuals. And but then you got to go up to a podium and have people like Joe Rexroth who holds his hand up as you're trying to explain to him that you're just going about your business. You have to answer to those people about why you might not necessarily, as Joe wrote, and I agreed with wholeheartedly, you might not necessarily be saying the exact truth about what reality is in your organization, and everyone else is just going to have to read between the lines here. You want to be competitive, but hey, we're starting who we're starting, and there's a reason for that in the long run.
So with that, Charles, what do you make of the way that Vrabel has described the quarterback situation this week in terms of, he's talked multiple times now about both guys playing in the game. When Joe pressed him yesterday, he talked about, well, maybe we'll run the plays in with the quarterbacks. Maybe we'll alternate series. What do you make of the idea of actually considering playing two quarterbacks in an NFL game?
Well, he could be – there's a couple of things he's doing there. Number one, he could be being completely honest. You know, maybe he's not breaking down how – snap percentages are going to go or anything like that. And it's probably hard to do that anyway, because you don't know what the game flow is ultimately going to look like. You don't know if Levis goes out there and he lights it up, that would dramatically, I think it would dramatically impact the number of snaps he ends up out there. Now Mike could be being honest in terms of, okay, you know, yeah, Levis is going to go out there. He's going to be the starter, but we have packages in our mind that we want to get Malik Willis in there for. And it's not necessarily just this merry-go-round, like alternating. He's in this series and the next series it's this guy and this guy. And it's, you know, like a preseason type deal. So, you know, it could be in the more traditional sense where you have two quarterbacks with varying skill sets. So what you're trying to do is plan on using them situationally, but there is one guy who's going to be more of the primary, which in my mind would probably be Levis, and then you bring in Malik Willis in other situations where you feel like you have an advantage or a certain down and distance that you like, or maybe the defense is giving you certain looks. And, you know, I guess if he goes to either, you know, the every other type situation, that would surprise me a little bit, because, again, that's more of what you do in the preseason. That's doesn't feel like it's conducive to success, because it's arbitrary. You're just doing every other. You're not playing what is normal NFL situational football, or sort of reading what's happening on the field. I think in the long run, we all know that when they dealt to get Will Levis and gave up, you know, again, going back to Joe, making Joe sound really smart, got to cover up for the hand usage here. He, you know, Joe said, look, you gave up two assets for one. You know, that's two positions that you could have helped out, and instead you put it into a quarterback spot that you had just taken a guy in the third round. They did do that, and you have to find out what's going on with Levis. And even though I think Joe may disagree with me, I'm still telling you, I don't think there are any bets off in terms of where this team, especially after the Byard trade, I don't think any bets are off in terms of this team sitting there and getting a good read on both quarterbacks. And if the worst happens, and, you know, God forbid, I can't imagine like Mike going through an absolutely, you know, apocalyptic season. But if that happens, this is not a bad year to do that, because again, there's going to be multiple quarterbacks that teams feel really good about. It's not just the Caleb Williams show. There's going to be a huge argument between Caleb Williams and Drake May, a heated argument by the time we get to draft day. And then there's going to be a third guy, whether it's Michigan's J.J. McCarthy or, you know, take your pick. There's a number of guys out there that people think could be a quality third starter in the NFL. So, you know, and by the way, the Titans are the only one in this situation. The Packers are looking at Jordan Love, same situation. I mean, there's quite a few teams that are sitting there saying, we got to get a good read on our quarterback, because this is the year that if we're going to do it and we're going to go through a rebuild and we have to do it at the quarterback position, we better know what we have at quarterback. So I think everything that's unfolding right now is, it was when we all talked in the preseason, we're like, here are all this multitude of things that if they go right, the Titans have a chance to compete for the division in the playoffs, which I truly believe. But we're on the flip side of it. The offensive line played the way that it ultimately played. You know, the defense was not as staunch as we had hoped they would ultimately be. There were injuries. And then we were like, well, Ryan Tannehill's got to stay healthy. Didn't happen. And, you know, you add all those things up, you are where you are, and you have to make some tough decisions here. And I think fans should sort of embrace that at some point it comes to an end. Maybe it did happen with the A.J. Brown trade, and we're just getting there a little later. And then you have to ultimately reposition yourself. At least you still have, and I believe this, I truly do believe this, at least you still have the head coach and a general manager that I think can, you know, function well together moving ahead. So, but this is going to be a challenging process, I think, for those two working together.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson with Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. We continue our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports.
So, we'll keep it Titans, Charles, because obviously Kevin Byard gets traded to the Eagles.
Right.
First of all, I guess I'd like your thoughts on that trade in terms of both sides, the compensation, everything, but also there's more. I feel like I'm seeing, you know, there's some things out there about the Ravens and Derrick Henry. There
right.
are other, certainly other possibilities. We've talked here a lot about like Hopkins, Autry as possibilities, but first of all, that deal, what do you think of it? And also, what do you think happens here moving forward? Is this going to end up being a sell-off?
Well, first and foremost, I actually thought that the Titans got more than I thought they would. You know, I mean, you're trading Byard based on past history, obviously. I thought, hey, late round pick, you know, when you're kind of throwing names out there in calls with different teams, it felt like a lot of the Titans' assets, what was attached, depending on the buyer, was, you know, maybe mid-round compensation if it's like a team that really needs Derrick Henry. You know, if it's Byard, it's going to be like a late-round pick. Instead, they get a couple of late-round picks and, as you said, like an asset, a player that is a lesser player but is still a young body. And you never know sometimes with those guys what it does to change scenery, even though it's not the first time it's changed scenery now. But, you know, I think for the Eagles, when you look at it from their end, you knew it was coming because Howie Roseman he really needed help at safety. And he was definitely combing the market for safety help for a while, a couple of weeks. I think he was talking to different teams about whether certain veteran safeties would be available. I like the acquisition from the Eagles standpoint because you're getting someone that is a very, very high level locker room guy, is going to be somebody that has a lot of experience, can come in and fit right in with that group because, you know, they're looking for experienced players who can carry their own in that locker room. I think it could be energizing to him. You know, let's be honest. It wasn't like he was playing as stealing, you know, at least historically for the type of player that he is. I think it can help him get some bounce, you know, back into his step. I think he fits there, you know, schematically. It was a very good, obvious pick. And the thing about the Eagles too, when I had a chance to talk to somebody after the trade about the draft assets, you know, they're like, look, when your team at that level, particularly if you're pushing for Super Bowls, you start to draft and, you know, you get to the fifth round and what you're trying to do is ask yourself, are we taking guys that can make our roster? You know, and it becomes a struggle, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds, to draft players that are actually going to make your team. So instead, what you try to convert those picks into is players that can come on the field for you now, help the effort, and then down the line, you're not, you know, wringing your hands because you took guys in the latter rounds that you sort of feel like you're probably going to have to cut at some point. So, I mean, it's, you know, just from the buyer, again, standpoint, I think if he had been playing at a really high level and the record is different, the trade never happens, even though obviously there was the whole situation with his contract and having to give some money back and sing for his supper a little bit, I still think he'd be somebody who was on the roster. If the record was different, the quarterback was healthy and everything had gone well. So it made sense to me. I thought it was a good trade for both sides. You get draft assets, which the Titans need every shot you can as you're starting to restack the depth chart. As far as other players, I do think it's possible that, you know, Henry gets moved. I mean, he's clearly still an attractive piece for teams. And for a team like the Baltimore Ravens, I mean, they got something going right now. And that's great, I think, for the Titans because there's a lot of duplication in terms of style between those two teams, what they like to do, the type of players they like to have. And Henry would walk in there immediately and fit, particularly from, you know, just the way they like to run the football and the embrace of the other veteran players that are looking at him. And to me, I think you can probably get a better pick out of a team like that, that feels like it's got a tiger by the tail, made some changes in the off seasons, coming off a big win over the Lions, which Joe doesn't think is a quality win, but I think they do.
Oh.
Especially in the fashion that they won the game.
What a fantastic Super Bowl contender those Lions are.
I would not rule out that deals, you know, there are still deals to get done. I did talk to a GM, though, after the Byard trade, and he said, he was talking about how he doing it when he did, and he said, hey, it's smart. I'm paraphrasing here, but he's like, hey, it's smart to do this now because you don't want to give teams a chance to second guess whether things are turning in the organization and like, hey, do we want to keep some of these assets, even though they might leave in free agency or we might cut them in the off season? Do we want to keep it for the culture? And he's like, he pointed out, he's like, four one-win teams won this weekend. He's like, you never want that going in the trade deadline because it can complicate conversations and you have owners who all of a sudden they're like, hey, maybe I don't want to look like I'm waving the white flag and you have coach for the job and they're saying, hey, let's keep the team together. It's starting to turn. Feel like we're getting the right direction. Maybe we're the Lions last year, went to the deadline 1-6. Who knows? So, and you do the deal with the Titans cause you're like, hey, what if they come out this weekend and Levis lights it up and, you know, Byard plays a great game. And then all of a sudden you're going, if we're going to play Levis, it'd be great to have all our pieces on here, give them as much confidence as possible. And let's not strip out pieces that maybe can help him be the quarterback ultimately in the long term that we want. Let's give him the best shot at success. And if that means that, you know, we burn it to the filter on a couple of these veterans, go ahead and do that. And for the greater good of the quarterback development, that is the one thing that I think about with like Hopkins and Henry is if you're taking those guys off the field and you are really moving forward at some point with these young quarterbacks, or there's even a chance that these are the guys you're moving forward with, you know, you're taking away a protective piece. There's still having Derrick Henry on the field is better than not having Derrick Henry on the field for Will Levis. Having Hopkins on the field is better than not having Hopkins on the field, unless there's something, you know, there's a dynamic where a veteran player is like, I don't want to play with rookie quarterback. I don't want to go through that and have a guy misfiring or poor ball location, throwing me a hospital ball, or a running back who says, we got a stack box. Like, we got a rookie in there. They're nowhere running the football. I'm going to be facing, you know, eight guys in the box. I don't want to deal with that. I don't think that's the situation there. So if there were any second guessing, I guess on my part, if I'm out there and I'm looking at that team, it's just like, if Levis is the guy, is it worth, let's see, what's the comp that you're getting for these players versus what are you taking away from the potential development of Will Levis if he's going to be your quarterback, or Malik Willis, if either of those players is going to be your quarterback moving forward.
Yeah, that's really interesting. On the Hopkins front, how attractive do you think he is out there on the market to a team, maybe like a Kansas City or another contender, given the production that we've seen from him and also the money he's making at this stage of his career?
Yeah, wide receiver. I will say if there's one position where you have a lot of teams that are interested in a position, it's wide receiver. There are a lot of teams that have been looking for wide receiver help. Now, one of them, Kansas City, goes out and gets Mecole Hardman. That takes a pretty solid player, I think, off the market. Hopkins fits more teams that are, you know, they're in the window right now. They're looking for, you know, Hardman and Hopkins, is not the same expectation when you deal for that guy. If you're going to get a Hopkins, you're like, this is, we need either what we would consider co-number one or like a high-level number two. Somebody who's going to eat a lot of targets, is going to have a basically max snap percentage type situation. And so that makes the fits a little more specific. You know, like Detroit, like I still think Detroit could use another really high-level wide receiver. Jameson Williams is, I think they hoped there'd be this big bounce when he came back. Still a lot of things that he's doing where you feel like this is just a rookie when you're watching him, and there's a lot to work out with him. So I still think there's a wide receiver asset that Detroit could add. A little bit of a complication here. I do think the Raiders are going to deal Hunter Renfro. He's completely written out of the offense there. There's interest in him, but he's, again, it's not a, certainly not even, it's no real one-for-one situation in terms of Hunter Renfro and Hopkins. I think if they deal him, you're going to have to eat some of that salary, and then you have to just sort of do the math in your head, like what's worth dealing this guy versus how much salary we have to, you know, eat in order to facilitate a trade, and then what we're taking off the field for a Will Levis or Malik Willis if Ryan Tannehill's down for an extended period of time, or if at some point you decide you're shifting gears. So I do think there will be interest in Hopkins, not if there's not, you know, a willingness to eat some salary, and, you know, the draft expectation isn't like, you know, you're going to get like a day two pick out of this. I'd be stunned, you know, if they got a day two pick in this situation. Not impossible. You just have to find the right suitor. But I think that would be a win for them, say, if they got a day two pick, even though they had to eat some of the salary. They pulled off a better bounty for Byard than I thought they would necessarily get. So they have that going for them right now. At least they've showcased they can go out and get the best deal on the table, which I think they did with Byard.
Got those beautiful Oilers throwbacks coming up on Sunday too. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, kind of cast a pall on the whole, you know, the Oilers throwbacks. You're like, geez, we could talk about that, or we could talk about the multitude of different things going on right now with the club.
Making some news, eh?
Yeah,
it's an interesting week. We'll take it.
Absolutely. No question.
Yeah. Hey, why not? Hey, by the way, too, real quick, I know Mike was really complimentary of the Atlanta Falcons, and they're doing a lot of really good things. I mean, it's funny that he's got to be looking at that team and being like, there's a lot of familiarity here in terms of what the Falcons do. And, you know, a team that loves to run the ball and has a, you know, middle of the pack kind of passing offense. And then, you know, but I will say this about the front end of that defense is the one thing that I think bodes well for Will Levis. We'll see. I could be completely wrong here, but I feel like when you kind of look at pass rush win rate at the front end of their defense, I think between like the edges and then the interior lineman, the only player, and I think if you like look at the top 20, they have zero edges in terms of like pass rush win rate. And then I think Grady Jarrett's like 15th in terms of like interior alignment. So you're not, at least in the front, you're not going up against a meat grinder of, like, you know, how many guys there, you know, Cleveland's, you know, front four, you know, there's a few teams out there where the front four, I would be pretty scared about putting a rookie out there. And that's the first thing I looked at. So I'm like, let's see at the point of attack here, you know, how dangerous maybe these guys are, snap in and snap out. So.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
You're saying there's a chance.
You're saying all there's right. a chance. I like it. Charles, great stuff as always. Absolutely. Charles, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it. Rexo, keep those hands.
Yeah, I'm sitting right from man. Now on.
Yeah. Let right the man yourself. Answer a question.
Yeah, I tried. Here, look at my hands are the same thing. Like, I'm trying to ask a question. All right, sorry.
All right, guys.
Charles Robinson, our guest, joins us from 8 to 8:30 every week.
I know we got to go. I apologize to people who what I was like, this is what I was doing with my hands. I didn't explain it on the radio to people who aren't watching the video stream.
Yes.
We'll get into that more, or maybe we won't.
We will, yes. 615-737-1025. Lots to react to there from Charles. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
As far as other players, I do think it's possible that, you know, Henry gets moved. I mean, he's clearly still an attractive piece for teams. And for a team like the Baltimore Ravens, I mean, they got something going right now. And that's great, I think, for the Titans, because there is – I think there's a lot of duplication in terms of style between those two teams, what they like to do, the type of players they like to have. And Henry would walk in there immediately and fit, particularly from – you know, just the way they like to run the football and the embrace of the other veteran players that are looking at him. And to me, I think you can probably get a better pick out of a team like that, that feels like it's got a tiger by the tail, made some changes in the offseason, coming off a big win over the Lions, which Joe doesn't think is a quality win, but I think they do.
Especially in the fashion that they won the game. What a fantastic Super Bowl contender those Lions are.
You know, so I don't I would not rule out that deals, you know, there are still deals to get done.
That was Charles Robinson on with us in the last segment. Appreciate him taking time to be with us. What'd you make of what Charles had to say about Henry's potential availability and that of DeAndre Hopkins as well?
Well, he came around to something we talked about this week, right? He probably just listens to our show and
probably so.
Forms his opinions based on that. But in all seriousness, we've talked about that, right? It's like, okay, you definitely want to try to set yourself up. You need more draft capital. Again, guys, even if you're not excited about a fifth and a sixth, you can get players a fifth and sixth. The more draft picks you get, now you can package those to get someone in like the third round. I mean, that's the whole thing. You have draft capital. You can move around and get really good players that you could not have gotten before because you didn't have anything to give up for them, right? So Draft capital is valuable, whatever you want to do with it. But we talked about it. It's like, okay, also you have this young quarterback, Will Levis, who, you know, is probably going to be your starter next year. And wouldn't it be better to have legit threats around him along with, you know, obviously the offensive line? You have to improve that. But you have to think about that, too, for the rest of the season, all of it. I mean, it's a really interesting situation. This is where, look, I do think, like, lose to the Falcons, and there's some time still before the deadline, and maybe some conversations that haven't yet manifested themselves into actual trades get more serious because you lose the game. I understand it sounds silly, like one game, but 2-5 and 3-4 are different, and 2-5 losing at home to the Falcons, what does that tell you about this team? It's time to sell.
Yeah, well, and then there's the other part of how much, like you brought up, how much value is there when you do have the rookie quarterback out there and giving him places to go with the football, right? Whether that's Hopkins or that's Henry on the field.
And next
and does
year,
that value outweigh the potential return that you could get for those guys?
Yeah, that's right. And that's what you have to weigh. And with Henry in particular, it's just – I mean, you trade him – you've said it. You trade him to the Ravens.
Oh, boy.
For like a fourth or something. Man, now he's in the conference. You already have, if you're a Titans fan, the PTSD of, you know, Titans going to Ravens. And I still believe the best case or the best place for Derrick Henry next year is here. Maybe he's resolved to go somewhere else. If I was him, I wouldn't blame him for being like, okay, I'll take $4 million where I can best win a ring.
Yep.
You know, and it wouldn't be here, obviously. But if you're the Titans, I'd be interested in that. And if you're the Titans, you have DeAndre Hopkins signed for next year, and I would certainly be interested in having him around to help your young quarterback. But that, but what's the – that's the balance, you know? You could also – sorry, I keep cutting you off.
No, you're good.
I'm Vrabel, and you're me yesterday. Yeah, show me something. There you go. Show me your hands. But you know, God, now I lost my train of thought. God dang it.
Let's go to our 102.5
The Game. I can't lose my mind.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Nobody's talking about the other parts of that. Like when Vrabel's like, you look ridiculous. Like that's a good part too. Like that's a good cut
that,
that you guys use. You look ridiculous, Joe. So no, man, that's I'm here for you. Hey, you know what? I'm going to ask Robbie this question because, Joe, you're having a hard week, and I'm sorry about that. So here's my deal, man. If you remember the 2019 season, like whenever we were struggling, people were questioning whether Arthur Smith was a good play caller, and people were questioning whether our line could block. We didn't extend like Jack Conklin that year, I think. It was because our team sucked so bad. Like, we had already passed the point where we were going to decide if we were going to pick up the fifth year. Like, so, and Corey Davis was part of that, too. So, I wonder, like, if our team is really as bad as we're making it out to be now. Because people thought that team sucked, too. And I don't know if it's these players. Maybe these players aren't as good as those players. But maybe they've just kind of given up. Maybe they just need somebody to light a fire under their butts. Because they're still professional athletes, right? Like I don't know. Like I'm not sure, Robbie. I don't know what you want. Like I'm as an optimistic fan, I'm sitting here thinking, what if, you know, the rookie comes in and the team plays better because of it?
Well, thanks for the call, Adam. Look, my initial reaction to that is, no, they're not good. Like they're not a good football team.
I mean, he makes good points on 2019. He's right, especially Arthur Smith. It was
for sure
terrible hire. You
know? Right. Now there was an answer with that group that this one doesn't have. I mean, the offensive line grew into being a really good offensive line, and this one's not going to do that. I mean, the question for this offensive line is, can you at some point somewhat protect the quarterback? Like, that offensive line at the end of 2019 grew into, I don't know, you tell me, top five?
Yes.
Top seven?
Yeah. And
offensive line?
You had two first-round tackles who were
correct
in their prime.
Right.
And one of them had been suspended. There's a lot of things. I mean, but in general, that team, I understand the comparisons. It's an obvious one, right? But go back to that team and tell me how many young players were promising good on the rise.
Yep.
And now look at this team. Yeah, of course, that team had some older guys too. Every team does. But now take it to this team and tell me how many young promising players right now you have. Tajay Spears. I mean, you have some players in their prime, like
not anywhere near
enough. Simmons.
Yeah.
There's a very big difference in quality of youth on roster between the two. And yeah, the offensive line, there's no comparison. You had Roger Saffold left. He was trying to figure it out at left guard. Lawan's out, suspended. Nate Davis is a rookie. Oh, wow, he's good. Now I think Skoronski's good.
Yeah.
But like other than that, you had Ben Jones at center, and then yes, you have Jack Conklin. Again, first round tackles. Both of whom have been Pro Bowl. Like it's just the talent level of that group in particular, the offensive line compared to this one, it's just not close.
Well, and your talent level is getting worse. You just traded off Kevin Byard. Ryan Tannehill, regardless of what you think of it, right now Ryan Tannehill is a better player than Will Levis. Will Levis may grow into one, and that's the hope, that he grows into a better player. But right now Tannehill is better than Will Levis is. So, like, you know, I don't know that I – do I expect with Will Levis playing that the Titans are about to roll off, just win after win after win and get back into the race? No, I don't expect that. I could be wrong, but I don't anticipate the win-loss record going overly well for the next few games.
But you know what? I hear what Adam's saying. Like, you don't know. Let's see what he can do.
Sure.
And there's enough still quality on this team that especially the pass rush. Like, is Arden Key?
Well, are they quality?
I thought so. I mean, here's the thing. We just talked about the offensive line. It's not going to get that much better. You hope Petit fares better and all that, but like the ceiling's not very high.
No.
I absolutely think the ceiling's high with the pass rush. They're not close to it, but there's reason to believe they should be able to produce, right?
I would think so, but like we haven't seen anything from Arden Key other than one half this year against the Saints.
Yeah.
Harold Landry clearly is still feeling the effects from the ACL. Is that just all of a sudden going to get better this year? I don't know. I mean, I feel good about Simmons and Autry, but they need more than just Simmons and Autry if they're going to have an effective pass rush.
Right. Like, I think some of it is Landry. Now there's some rest here. I mean, I think that's possible. Yeah, Key's a tough one to figure out for sure. But at least I could see that getting decent. And then, okay, you got a chance to do something maybe if you're being very optimistic. Look, maybe – remember when the Wildcat took over the NFL?
Oh, yeah.
What if Vrabel's two-quarterback system takes over the NFL? That's the new thing. Everybody starts, hey, this is a great idea. Let's have the quarterbacks bring the plays in with each other.
Per play, yeah, maybe so. Maybe we're about to see some groundbreaking stuff on Sunday at Nissan Stadium.
It's cyclical, man. It all goes in cycles. You're going to be running spinners out there.
This week's Nashville's best deal is from Bad Axe Throwing Nashville. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25. Bad Axe Throwing Nashville, Nashville's largest axe throwing venue, located downtown at 648 Fog Street. Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. We'll also get to some tickets to give away as well. That's on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Thursday morning. Got some tickets to give away. To see the Preds take on the Toronto Maple Leafs coming up this Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Call the 3, we'll win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Maple Leafs this Saturday at Bridgestone Arena.
Great point by Dennis. A decoy QB might be a good strategy with this O-line. The defense wouldn't know who to sack. That's true. If you went 2 at once...
Who's going to get the snap?
Just a little bit of like, who's got it? Who's got it? Hot potato. Hey, there's always innovations in football.
I got to slow down. Are we sure the Titans Bud Dupree this week? Yeah. Bud Dupree's going to be out for blood.
Bud Dupree with 4 sacks. It's amazing that Jadeveon Clowney ended up having a sack at the expense of the Titans.
It really
is. At some point in his career after 2020.
Caleb says 4-2 in the next 6 should be the goal. We'll see.
The goal is to beat the Falcons. Caleb, you do not go past a week to week. All focus on the Falcons. And then on to the Steelers. I'm hearing like optimism about the Steelers game. I think you've expressed some.
Me?
Yeah. Wasn't that you? No? Did you not?
No. Am I confusing? Look, I don't know that I have optimism for the Titans and the Falcons game. So the Steelers, no, I don't love the idea of them playing TJ Watt.
Yeah.
And what that could mean.
I mean, the Steelers defense.
Look, I don't think the Steelers are overly good.
No.
But I don't like that matchup, for sure.
Short week on the road in that stadium against that defense, yeah.
So Caleb says 4-2 in the next 6. So the next 6 are the Falcons, the Steelers, the Bucks, the Jags, the Panthers, and the Colts. I guess it's doable.
4-2. They could go 4-2. Basically, I would put Jags and Steelers as the losses, and I think the other ones are winnable.
So if you're 4-2, you're 6-6 at that point. Right there.
You're certainly in the wild card race. I kind of feel like the Jaguars are about to take off. I feel like people around here, and look, I was kind of part of it too, but people around here, like, if they're not amazingly perfect, then it's like, yeah, they're not very good. Well, they're in charge of this division. They're the best team in the division. So,
yes.
But if you got to 6-6, certainly you're in the, which is what the NFL wants. They want everybody, every market to have a chance, and they could be there.
So what we've talked ourselves into is Titans nothing at the deadline. It is Byard and that's it, and try to get to 6-6.
I don't know. I know it sounds like you're just being too reactive to one thing, but if I'm the Titans and I lose this next game at home to the Atlanta Falcons,
that should tell you where you're at.
Then I'm more motivated to sell before the deadline. But I still also – I do buy into what we've been talking about with trying to still help your development of your quarterback. Take away offensive skill players from him, and then it'll really go well for a quarterback behind that offensive line. Tannehill's like, ah, man, this ankle just won't heal.
I mean, it's all setting up for you could be drafting another quarterback. Maybe you do get yourself into the Marvin Harrison Jr. sweepstakes that a lot of Titans fans wanted to start the year anyway.
What do you mean? You're the Caleb Williams sweepstakes.
Well, maybe. I'm just saying, you know, let's say you finish with the third or fourth worst record. You get Marvin Harrison Jr.
That would be good.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I understand the Titans fan who's like,
we've gone from the Titans back at the playoffs now in a wild card to first overall pick.
It's great. You got to be open to all possibilities. I understand any Titans fan who's like, I don't want 6-11 or 7-10. Give me 3-14 or 4-13, and Marvin Harrison, I get it.
By the way, I'm looking on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Have you seen the line for the Titans-Falcons? You know, wager a guess at what the line is?
Falcons by 2.
Falcons by 2.5. The over-under for the Titans-Falcons. Take a guess at the over-under.
31.
It's 35.5.
Oh, okay.
It's lowest in the league.
Nice.
For Sunday.
Should be fun.
Should be a lot of fun out there.
You know what, though? Oilers throwbacks.
Yeah. Okay. 30. I'm trying to. 35.5.
I'm going to do some carnival barking for this game.
That's the lowest over-under I can remember for a good while here. 35.5?
I mean, I said 31, so. Yeah, but, yeah, that's well, I believe I heard last week there was an over-under that was 33. I forget what game it was, but, I mean, it's been that kind of year in the NFL. They're going to have to start, you know, changing the rules again to create more scoring, you know.
I guess so. I just, man.
No tackling allowed. You know, look, you put your hands up like this and it's pass interference. By the way, again, so I tried to explain it on the video stream. All I did was put my hands up like this, my palms up a little bit, like, why are you cutting me off?
I love how you, once again, trying to explain it on radio, said like this. Put my hands up like this.
Right. I'm sorry. So the video streamers, you see it. All right. But I'm trying to explain it to people who are just listening. I just kind of was like, what? What are you doing? What? Kind of like the shrug emoji, right? Like, eh.
Look, I'm just glad there were people concerned earlier today that maybe you and Vrabel's relationship had taken a turn for the worse. And I'm just glad that apparently both of you are okay after the press conference.
Friend of the show. Yeah, everything's fine. I mean, this is, you know, it's fine. I mean, it's good. It's content for us, right? I mean,
it
really,
is.
I should treat this like Jared. It's like, yes, thank you, Mike. Yes. Oh, my God. You've made my day. By the way, Nick Frazier, shout out to him. That was a nice job with the Ricky Bobby stuff.
We think one of the assistant coaches goes rogue today and tells us who's starting at quarterback. Just total anarchy in the Titans organization.
You know, honestly, I hadn't thought about this, but now that you bring it up, so Tim Kelly will talk. It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
Like, is he just going to shrug off all talk of quarterback, or is he actually going to continue with the ruse of the 2QB system? Or are they actually going to do it? The Titans have become super interesting this week.
Tim, how conditioned are the quarterbacks to run the plays in every play this week? They done extra running?
Are you taking the communication out of the helmet because it's just going to be run back in every play anyway?
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.